Okay, I'm going to talk about God's plan for you, and then I'm going to talk about the enemy's plan for you. I'm going to talk about God's plan for man. If you don't understand this plan of God, then you're probably not in the will of God, because he has a very basic plan that you and I need to understand. Now, we're all born in a place, and we'll call this Egypt. In Egypt, everybody's lost. And that word lost means separated from God, is very simply what it means. We're born separated from God. And the only way to come out of that place is two things. Number one, God has to draw us. And number two, we have to respond to him. That's every single individual that's ever born that's in the right mind and has the ability of choice. And so Egypt, very simply, also is another word for Egypt, and that's called the world. We're all born into the world. No exceptions, and there's only one way out. I've heard people say there's a lot of roads, but there's only one. And that road out is through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way to get out of Egypt, is the cross of Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, obviously, I'm not an artist. I don't pretend to be one. But I think you'll get the general idea before we're done here today. So we have a situation. We're born in darkness. We're not born in light. We're born in darkness. Now, I want to show you some scriptures on these things so that you can tell other people exactly what I'm showing you today. It's very simple. But first, I want you to look in John chapter 1 and verse 4. John chapter 1 and verse 4. Now, this is also in Genesis, but we may look at that later. But John chapter 1 and verse 4 says two or three very interesting things. Now, the only way you understand this plan is to get into the Word of God. There's no other way. And that's exactly what we're going to do. And John chapter 1 and verse 4 says, in him, that's Christ, was life. Life does not come from any other source other than Jesus Christ. Everything that's alive on this earth is alive because of Jesus. Now, the reason for that is he is the creator. Now, we're not going to get into that. I've got into it before. But very simply, he is the creator. Life has to come from life. Life cannot come from death. Life has to come from life. And so therefore, this says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The only way you're going to receive light is through Jesus Christ. Men are born in darkness. And that's another word that you could put down here for this place would be darkness. There's all kinds of things we could say. People today are living in Egypt. They don't care that right this very minute they're doing all kinds of things out in the world. And from sports to sleeping to going about their business, they're doing all these things today right now while you and I are in here learning the Word of God. They don't particularly care about what you and I are doing, because they have no light. The only thing they have is darkness, because they were born into that darkness because of the sin of Adam and Eve, and that comes right down to us. Now, I want to look also in John chapter 1 and verse 9. That was the true light which lights every man that comes into the world. Now, that says every man has an opportunity to respond to the light. I don't care if they're in some island off in somewhere where they hardly ever see anybody, or whether they're in the midst of a million people. The point is, the true light lights every man. So you and I have had probably multiple opportunities to come to Christ over a period of time. I did not come until I was 33 years old. I could tell you, after I got saved, I could tell you several times that God shone his light upon me, and I didn't respond. But at 33, I did. I responded to the light, and that was the only thing that could have brought me out of darkness, brought me out of life. If you live and die in Egypt, which more people will than go to heaven, unfortunately, if you live and die in Egypt, you will go to eternal hell fire, separated from God forever. It's very clear in the scriptures. There's no second place. There's no second chance. There's no a place other than for those without Christ, those that are lost. They may have lived a good life in the world. They may have lived a bad life in the world. It doesn't make any difference. If they do not have Christ, they cannot go to be with him forever. They have to be separated from him forever. We need to get that idea in our mind, because we like to think, well, that person's a good person. They're doing good things. They even go to church. They do this, they do that. But if they do not have Christ, they're lost. Do I hear an amen? Now, we need to get that clear. We need to understand that. I don't care if it's somebody you love or somebody you hate. If they do not have Christ, they are not going to heaven. They can have religion, but religion, all that does is make them feel better about themselves in Egypt, in the lost world. Now, what is the picture of this is in the Old Testament, because Israel ended up in Egypt and they ended up in bondage. Everybody thinks that lives in Egypt, they think they can make their own decisions, do whatever they want to, but really they are under the god of this world, who is Satan himself. There's the god of this world, and there's the god that created this world. They're not the same. The god of this world is called Satan, or several other names in the Bible. Now, God has a plan. He had a plan for the Jews. Let's look in Exodus 12 and verse 1. Now, this is the plan that really God has for everyone. The Jewish nation was the model or the example of this in the Old Testament. Look in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 1. Now, understand this. Israel is a model of every nation, every people, and so forth. They are in Egypt. They had been there at this point for about 400 years. They were in bondage. They were slaves. They did not have an opportunity of liberty in any way, shape, or form. But in verse 12, God spoke to Moses. This is the beginning of the light to come to Egypt, to the Israelites. They're now going to see the light of God. This is their opportunity to get out of this bondage of being lost, in a sense, to the plan of God. Exodus 12:1. The Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." It's going to be the beginning of months. In a sense, you're going to be born again. That's what he's talking to these people about. He said, this is going to be a whole new experience, nothing you've ever experienced before. Verse 3, "Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, in the 10th day of the month, you shall take every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house." Now the idea here is, the way out is going to be through the blood of an innocent, in this case, lamb. Innocent lamb, a perfect lamb. Verse 4, and if the household be too little for a lamb, let him, he and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your account for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. He shall take it out from the sheep and from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two sides of the post and the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. They shall eat the flesh, and that night roast with fire, unleavened bread and bitter herbs shall they eat it. Eat not of it raw or boiled at all with water, but roast with fire its head, its legs, with the inner parts thereof. And you shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remains of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it with haste, and it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. Against all the gods of Egypt I shall execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon your houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, God said, I have a plan to free you. There's only one way to do it. You've got to get a perfect lamb. You've got to inspect that lamb for 4 days. On the fifth day, you're going to kill this lamb. You're going to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost of your house. And then you're going to eat the lamb. You're going to eat every single bit of it. The parts you don't eat, you're going to burn with fire. Several things here. Number one, they were going to be freed out of Egypt by blood. A sacrifice of an innocent one. They were to eat of that. They were to take it in. They were to devour the entire thing. Now, that's exactly what happens in salvation. God took an innocent one. His name was the Lord Jesus Christ. He was perfect, without sin, and without blemish. He was inspected for 4 days. On the fifth day, he was killed, and he shed his blood, not for himself, but for you and I. Now, this lamb in Egypt was just a picture of the lamb that was coming, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, so in a sense, in the Old Testament, they were saved on credit until the blood of Jesus Christ. No one ever went to heaven until Jesus Christ died on the cross for them. Now, when he went to heaven, then he took them out of Sheol, as we know, and took them to be with him in heaven. Now, that's how they were going to get out. They were going to get out by blood. That's why we sing songs about the blood of Christ, because that is our only way to heaven. That is our only way to be saved. It's our only way out of Egypt. It is the only way you're going to have freedom for eternity. It is, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by him. You see, that is the issue. There is no other. You don't come by being religious. You don't come by being a Hindu. You don't come by being in Islam. You don't come by any of those things. You don't come by being a Methodist, Catholic, Baptist, anything else. You come by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood only. Amen. Now, I'm giving you the plan of God. It doesn't make any difference you live here, you live in South America, you live in Europe, you live in Asia. It's all the same for all time for man. And those that do not come through the blood will die in their sins and be separated from God forever. That's the issue. Now, continuing with the plan of God. Now, they did what he said, the Israelites. The death angel came. There is a death angel. He came. The firstborn of all Egyptians died. Why did they die? Because Pharaoh killed the male children of Israel. You don't mess with Israel. Because when you mess with Israel, you mess with God. And a lot of the problems we have in this country is because we've tried to get Israel to give their land for peace. They gave their land. There hasn't been any peace. And we've had all kinds of problems because of it. Are you listening to me? If you want to know why we've gone through the financial crisis, if you want to know why we had Katrina, if you want to know why we've had these other things, I didn't say they came from God. God allowed them to happen because we've tried to mess with Israel. Our job is to protect Israel, not give their land away. That land belongs to God. That's why we get in trouble. If somebody would just tell Washington, D.C., we'd all be a whole lot better off. You see, it's not that I know anything. It's that God is everything, and he tells his servants. Are you listening to me? And you're his servants, he's telling you. Now, that's the first part of God's plan. He wants everybody to be saved. Jesus said, I came to seek and to save those who are lost. That's what he said. Now, most of you know that information. Now, that wasn't all of it. That was just the beginning. He took them out of Egypt, and he took them into a desert. A desert place. They came out of Egypt, and they came into a place called the desert or the wilderness. Another name for the wilderness, and this is exactly what happens to you when we receive Christ. God takes us into this place called the wilderness. Another name for it is boot camp. Because, very simply, he's going to prepare you for the real battle, which is yet to come. Now, what we're doing right now is preparing, because as I mentioned before, I believe towards the end of this year, but maybe even before, it could happen any time, God's going to bring revival. God's going to bring his Spirit in a new and refreshing way, and we're going to see a lot of things take place. But he's preparing us. So he takes us into the wilderness. Israel was there for 40 years. They didn't have to be there that long. They were there for 40 years because all they did was murmur and complain and get upset with God and say, we wish we were back in Egypt. I can't imagine, but that's what they said. And this world, in a lot of ways, is a very dark place. We are sheltered in this country because we don't realize what goes on in other countries. I'm going to give you an example. There's a place over in the Middle East where if you don't do what they say, they will cut your head off. And they will take your head and make your kids use those heads for soccer balls in a soccer game. The world without God is a terrible place. The only reason this world has not destroyed itself is God has not allowed it to do so. Are you listening to me? That's the only reason. God's got his hand holding it together, or it would fly apart in a zillion pieces. The Bible says very clearly in Colossians that the only thing holds this world together is God. You see. He invented something called, or created something called gravity, and that keeps the earth together. If God took gravity away, the earth would just disintegrate into dust. Are you listening to me? Now, the miracle of God is that God doesn't destroy people that stick up their nose at him. That's the miracle of God. It's a miracle of God that he doesn't destroy this world because of the mess we make of it. And if you say, well, I am making a mess of it, well, you're one of the few. You see. And so he takes us into the wilderness, and the reason he does that is to train us for another place called the Promised Land. That is not heaven. That is the place where we do spiritual battle. We're not ready for spiritual battle. The reason is we're too full of ourselves. I'm smiling when I say that. Trying to be nice. We're too filled with ourselves and not enough of Jesus. So the boot camp is to get us to a place where we're filled with Jesus Christ. What a lot of us do when we come to Christ and we say, okay, Lord, I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to do the best I can. If I need you, I'll call you. Now, that's the way a lot of Christians live. Do I hear an amen or an oh me? One or the other. You see, that's what we do. We're supposed to live every single day for Jesus Christ, for his glory and honor, in whatever you do, whether you're working, whether you're playing, whether you're whatever you're doing. We are to dedicate every single day to Jesus. We are to eat every bit of him there is to eat and take into our life so that we will be like him. And that's what boot camp's all about. If you went through boot camp, you understand that. Now, the whole point of it is God is going to give you some time to get to know him, to develop a relationship with him, to begin to understand who he is and what he is doing and what his plan is. If you don't understand this, you're going to stand before him at the end of time and you've missed the whole thing. Missed the whole thing. You'll say, God, I went to church. God, I was good. God, I did this. And he said, well, did you do what I asked you to do? You say, what was that, Lord? It's already too late. I didn't say you're going to hell. I just said, you're not going to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. That's for sure. Now, so we're going to learn who we are in Jesus Christ and what he can do through us. Now, we're in that process right now. But we got to hurry up and learn this because the battle's going to begin shortly. It's going to begin shortly. I guarantee you. We are to be overcomers. We are overcomers in Christ, but we have to learn how to be overcomers, if that makes sense to you. Okay? Now look at Matthew 16:24, and I'm going to show you what you have to learn. Matthew 16:24, that's what we're trying to teach here. That's what we're trying to get you ready for what God has. This isn't some plan just for this church. This is a plan for every single Christian. Now, chapter 16 and verse 24, it says, Jesus said unto his disciples, that's what we are, if any man will come after me, in other words, if anybody's going to get into the plan of God that I've designed for him or her, if any man or woman will come unto me, let him or her deny himself. In other words, you have to come to the place where you realize the whole world doesn't revolve around you. The whole world does not revolve around you. That may be news. If it is, you heard it first here. the whole world doesn't revolve around you and me. That'd be a change right there for some folks. They'd probably go to the doctor to get over it.
Help me get over this.
So, he isn't through yet. Number one, you learn to deny yourself. In other words, you have to learn to say, "Yes, Lord," when he tells you to do something. In boot camp in the service, one thing you learn to do is say, "Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir." It'll save your life. Are you listening to me? Now, he says, deny yourself, take up your cross. Now, your cross is in a lost world using the gifts that God's given you. Your cross is understanding that the only reason that you're breathing is Jesus Christ. Your cross is to take up whatever God wants you to do, whatever you're doing and wherever he has you. That's the cross. Jesus took up the cross because that was what would save us. Amen. You see, that was his cross. It was to save us. And then follow Jesus for the rest of eternity. That's what it is. Those three things you have to learn in the wilderness. Number one, I'm going to say learn to say yes to Christ. Number two, I'm going to learn what he wants me to do. That's take up the cross. And number three, I'm going to follow him on a daily basis. That's for every single person. Now, I'm here to tell you, so all some people do is get out of Egypt and they just float along in life until Jesus comes or until they die, whichever it is. They don't accomplish. Will they go to heaven if they know Jesus? Yes. Will they get rewards? No. You see, this life is just really something God put together to get you to know him, to get you to learn to follow him, because he has such tremendous things in heaven that you're going to have to learn how to follow him here, or you're not going to follow him there. Are you listening to me? God wants people that knows who he is, knows who they are, knows what he wants them to do, and to do it, you learn in this life, we're really going to practice it in heaven. You see, somebody said this life's assimilation, it's a model, it's temporary. When it's done, you're out of here. The only reason for this life was to get you to Christ, to get you to learn to love him, and get you to learn to do what he says. That's what this life was for. It wasn't supposed to last forever. Maybe 60, maybe 70, maybe 80 years, maybe 100 for a few. But the issue, this life is just a training ground. It's not the real thing. My goodness. The real thing is always with Jesus Christ. And he's not here. He's on the right hand of the Father. He's here with his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is teaching us. That's why you won't learn one thing I say today unless the Holy Spirit teaches you. All I'm doing is giving it out. The Holy Spirit has to put it into your heart. Are you listening to me? That's the way the spiritual things work. He just uses me to speak these things. But basically then, we're here. Another thing is what we're going to battle in the wilderness is the flesh. And that is everything we can do without Christ. Everything we can do without Christ. We need to get rid of it. Because God wants us to become little Christ on this earth. All right. So we got to learn all these things. Learn and obey. Learn and obey. Learn and obey. How do you do it? I tell people how to do it. Does everybody do it? No, they don't. How do I know? It's not coming from me. It's coming from God. Very simply, learn the basics. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Have a quiet time with the Lord. Read the Word of God on a daily basis. Have prayer. Be in fellowship in a church. Really, the Bible calls them congregations. Congregation. Have a congregation you're attached to, you're involved in. You have some people to love. You have the people to minister to. You have some people to love you. That's what it's all about. Just these basic things. And then witness. At any stage of this thing outside of Egypt, you can lead people to Christ. You can pray for the sick. You can deliver people from the enemy that are captured by the enemy in the world, and so on. But the only battle we really have in the desert or boot camp is to learn to obey God. That's basically it. There's not any other enemies particularly. There was one enemy in the desert against Israel. And I haven't got time to get into all this. We'd be here for a year. But the issue is, it was called Amalek. You know what Amalek means? The flesh. That's the only group that attacked Israel in the wilderness. So we're always fighting the flesh. What does our flesh want to do as opposed to what does God want us to do? Some people never get over that battle. They spend their whole life just battling the flesh. Never get to the promised land. They just die. They die in the flesh. Now, let me tell you something. Go to Deuteronomy. That's the fifth book of the Old Testament. And if you didn't bring a Bible, look on with somebody. But if you don't have a Bible, I know you're not reading one. Don't raise your hand. All right. Deuteronomy 1:8. I'm not making fun of you. I love you. Just get a Bible and get in it, okay? Deuteronomy 1:8. Now, this is still in this life. We haven't got to heaven yet. Deuteronomy 1:8, we're talking about the plan of God. Behold, I have set the land before you. He's talking about to Israel, he's talking about Canaan or the nation where the Israel is now. Behold, I've set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give unto them and to their seed. Now, that was for Israel. It was a piece of real estate. Now, I'm going to tell you something about Israel. It's very interesting. God said, okay, I'm going to give you this land. You know how big that land was? 300,000 square miles. It covered from the Mediterranean Sea all the way over to the Euphrates River. Eventually, they're going to have that land. You know how much Israel conquered? Instead of 300,000 square miles, they conquered 30,000 square miles. That's all. That's why they got that little dinky nation over there. Everybody's fighting over. They're going to have 300,000 square miles when Jesus comes. It's going to take part of Iraq. Saddam, eat your heart out down there in hell. Roll over in his whatever. All right. Now, I want you to tell you what you learned to do in the desert. I'm going to tell you some things you learned to do. Look in Mark 16:15. You need to be learning these things. If you haven't learned them yet, well, the time is coming.
Is that Mark?
Mark, yes. Our man Mark. Very last chapter. And there's other ones. I'm not giving you all the scriptures. They're all over the place. I just want to give you this one. Okay, verse 15. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's what all of us are supposed to be doing. Not just the pastor, not just the preacher, not just the missionaries. We're all supposed to be doing this. I say we're all supposed to be doing this. Amen. Okay. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. I didn't say that. That's right out of the mouth of Jesus. That's why we got to get to these folks. If we don't get to them, they're going to be damned. Are you listening? I don't care how nice they are, Uncle Harry is. It don't make any difference. I'm not talking about this Harry back here. I'm talking about He can be the nicest person in the world and go to hell without our testimony. Come on. This is right out of the mouth of Jesus in red, if you've got a red letter Bible. All right. He that believes and baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. How many here are those who believe? I want to see it high. All right, this is talking to you. So underline this. These signs shall follow those who believe in my name. They shall cast out demons, or yours might say devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And that's not talking about necessarily what you think. If they drink any deadly thing, it'll not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. In other words, he went up and sat down next to the Father and he said, okay, guys down there on the earth, go to it. Basically what he said. They went forth. Who's that? All the believers, not just the apostles. All the believers went forth, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, and confirmed the word with signs following. There you go. That stuff we're supposed to be learning right now in the wilderness. You don't wait till later. You learn it now. Okay? Now, once you go to Joshua, and we're probably not even going to begin to get done today, but I'll give you a little bit of the coming attractions here. So, don't worry. How many believe this is of the Lord? That was pretty weak. How many believe this is of the Lord? Okay, Joshua 2:8. I'm trying to tell you God's plan for your life here. We're just getting started. Joshua 2, verse 8. And before they were laid down, wait a minute, that's not right. Am I in the right place? Joshua 2, verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. Thank you. See, I need all the help I can get. Okay. Book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. That means the word of God. But you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according that all that is written therein. For then shall they make their way prosperous, and then shall you have good success. I didn't say that. God said it. You want to have good success? You meditate on the word of God. This is the manual for life. This is God's manual for eternity. And so you have to get into it. You have to learn it. Look at Joshua 4:24. I don't know about anybody else, but I'm having a good time. Joshua 4:24. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and you might fear the Lord your God forever. That's the plan of God. Look at it again. That all the people of the earth, that's you and I, might know the hand of the Lord that is mighty. He's in charge. And that you shall fear the Lord your God forever. That word fear is reverence. It means love. It means respond to. It means to say basically, yes, sir. Okay? Now look in Deuteronomy 4:33. Oops, no such thing. Yes, there is. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 33. That's the fifth book of the Bible. Part of my problem is I got so much to say and a very little time to do it. Deuteronomy 4:33. Yeah, it is. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 33. Did ever people hear the voice of God speaking out of the midst of the fire, as thou hast heard and lived? Or has God ventured to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation, that's Egypt, by temptations, by signs and wonders, and by war and by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and by the great terrors, according to all the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. In other words, God did a miraculous work to save your soul. That's what that says. It was a miracle of God. And so on. Now, I want to go on here. And unto thee it was shown that thou might know that the Lord, he is God. That's the what you need to know. You need to know the Lord is God. Nobody else is God. Nothing else is God. There are no other gods as far as this is concerned. What God wants you to know, number one, he is God and there's none else besides him. Now, out of heaven he made you to hear his voice. You would have never heard the voice of God had not God made you hear him. Amen. That he might instruct you upon the earth. He showed you his great fire, and thou hast heard his words out of the midst of the fire. And because he loved your fathers, therefore he chose their seed after them, brought them out. He's talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Brought them out in sight of his mighty power out of Egypt. Now look at this, verse 38. To drive out nations from before you, greater and mightier than you are, to bring you in, to give you their land for an inheritance, as it is this day. Now, the promised land is a land of your life that's been taken over by the enemy. When did he take it over? He took it over before you were saved. When did he take it over? He took it over in your ancestors. Your great-grandfather, your grandfather, your great-grandfather, your grandfather, your father, down to you. Satan set up a minefield in your life before you were ever born in your ancestors. And then from the time you were born to the time that you were saved, he set up a minefield in your life to distract you from the things of God. And if you're here today and you're not obeying God and you're not close to God and you're not following God on a daily basis, it's because of what Satan planted in your life before you were ever born. I'm going to explain that as we go along. It's very important to understand. Now, lastly on this part, it doesn't make any difference God called you to do some big thing or some God called you to do some little thing. He's called you to do something. And you want to be the best you can be either in the big thing or the little thing. You know, we don't have to be like Faith Center or anybody else. We have to be what God's called us to do in this place. That's going to be pleasing to God. He didn't say act like Faith Center. He said act like what you're supposed to be here in this place. You see. We don't have to act like any other congregation, any other church. We are unique in what God has called us to do. And we want to do it the best we can in his power. Now, what's next? If I have enough room. Okay, now he wants you to go into the promised land. Okay, he wants you to go into the promised land. That's not heaven. That's where warfare takes place. That's where the warfare is. If you're in the wilderness, you haven't been involved in warfare other than getting your life straightened out and getting to know God. Now you're going to have to do warfare to take the land. What is the land? The land is everything that God wants you to do while you're living on this earth. That's your land. For Israel, it was a piece of real estate. For you, it is your soul, body yes, but soul primarily. God wants you to possess your soul. Now, what I mean by that is, drive out everything that's not like Jesus in your soul. Drive out everything in your soul that's not like Jesus. Now, your soul is your mind, will, and emotions. That means you want to drive everything out of your thought life that's not like Jesus. Everything out of every word you say that's not like Jesus. Because we will account for every word we say in this life. Now, it also means in your actions. Your thoughts, your words, your actions. That's the land of your life. What God wants you to do after you learn all these basic things in the wilderness, in boot camp, then go in there. But another thing, you don't go by yourself. You go with the Holy Spirit of the living God. Joshua was getting ready to go in the promised land. God said, go in there and take it. And so he's preparing, making all these plans and everything else. And so he goes out in the evening, and there's a soldier in front of him. And he said, are you a friend or a foe? He said, I'm the Lord of hosts, hallelujah. I'm the general of the army. He said, you're not going to go into this battle without me, hallelujah. And so he learned real quick who was in charge. And so God then gave him a plan to take the strongest fortress in the land. It was Jericho. It sounded absolutely ridiculous. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get the chorus out in front. Then I want you to have the priest. Then I want you to have the army. And I want you to march around Jericho. here was the hard part. And not say a word. Don't anybody say a word. I want you to march around this city for 6 days. One time. Chorus out in front. They might have been singing, I don't know. But he said, I don't want the rest of you to say a word. You know why he said that? I don't want you to mess this up. We mess up 4 things with our mouth than anything else.
That's right, brother.
Amen. And the issue is, they did that for 6 days. Anybody with any kind of military leader would say, this is the stupidest thing I have ever heard of. And then God said the real thing. He said, now the 7th day, I want you to march around 7 times, and I don't want you to say a word. There isn't anybody in this place that could do that without God's help. And they marched around 7 times. And then God said, I want you to shout. And they did. And the walls fell down. And they went in there and took that place. And as far as I know, they did not have 1 casualty. Destroyed the enemy. But they only had 1 casualty. Now I want to tell you the rest of this. He told them to do something else. And you'd say, oh my God, how could God do this? This is the harshest thing I ever heard of. He said, I want you to kill every man, every woman, every child, and every beast. Why did he say that? Because they were so full of the world, they were so full of the world, there was no chance for them. And if Israel had just taken them captive, they would have influenced Israel and messed up the plan of God. So what I'm telling you is that was a picture of us going in to our life with God's help, the Holy Spirit, and cleaning out everything that's not like Jesus. God's not interested in people that are not serious about Him. Because when you get to heaven, He wants you to be ready to step right in there and hit the ground running. Because you have accomplished. You've accomplished to get rid of self and put God in charge. You've accomplished in getting all of the sin and all of the wrong relationships and all the junk out of your life so that you're ready for eternity with Jesus Christ. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Now that's the plan of God for your life. I'm not done because next time I'm going to show you what's in the land. I'm going to tell you what's in there. I'll tell you right now, give you a little preview. There were the Hittites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and the electric lights. They were all in there. They were all in there. And every one of them represents a category of sin. Now, I'm going to tell you next time what they are. But God wants them out of your life. And so after we learn to obey God and learn to walk through every day with Him and learn to have the Holy Spirit help us clean out our life and take that promised land, not be passive and just say, well, I'm saved. I guess I'll go to heaven when Christ comes. Well, big whoopee deal, you see. There's a whole lot more to it than that. I don't want anybody here to stand before Jesus and say to Him, I didn't know what the plan was. It says there's going to be tears in heaven. That's why. People are going to stand before Jesus and He's going to say, well, did you do the plan? You're going to say, They won't get it. It's going to be tears. I don't want a single person not be able to stand before Jesus and Jesus say to them, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Do I hear an amen? Amen. Now, I'm just beginning on this. I'll probably finish it up next time. I'll try to improve on my artwork. But anyway, do you get the idea? It's not complicated. Anybody can understand that. If I can, anybody can. So it's coming out of Egypt, that's salvation. Going into the wilderness, and that's learning to know God, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection life. The resurrection life is taking the promised land. It's knowing God, knowing how He works, getting ready. We're getting ready for heaven. Some of us have more time than others. Somebody said, if you knew how many weekends you had left, you'd change your life.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening? You'd change your life. Now, I pray today. I'm going to finish it next time. That's the preliminaries. Now we're going to get into the main event. I'm going to show you how Satan planned to mess your life up. I'm going to tell you next time. And the answer to it. Okay? Now, let's stand before the Lord.